around Memorial Day, got the barbecue out, drinking some ribs and some burgers. Mmm, good stuff. Hey, Rashi, ready for some barbecue?
Yeah.
Great, what do you want?
Yeah. Hot dogs.
You want some hot dogs?
Yeah, I brought them out.
Oh, you brought out some hot dogs,
yeah.
Huh? Well, let me take them. Hey, they're kind of... This one has a rope on the end. Are these the kind that the wieners that you have to cut off?
Yeah.
Okay, let me put them
perfectly
on...
Perfectly normal.
Yeah, let me put them on the fire here and...
Completely innocuous.
Yeah, I have no reason. Ah! Oh! Ah! Ah! They're blowing up! Marcy, what are those? They're firecrackers and stuffed in hot dogs.
I'm practicing for the family reunion.
Oh, Rashi. Hi, this is Paul Dini.
This is Misty Lee. I'm putting up decorations for the 4th of July. No, wait, Memorial Day first.
Yeah.
But they could stay up, so I get to be lazy because there's no holiday in between.
I gurgled my introduction. Could I do it again?
Nope, it stays.
Hi, I'm Paul Dini.
Not too bad.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're Gurgle Dini.
I Gurgle Dini, okay.
And I'm Misty Lee.
Yeah, there you go.
I already did that. See, I did mine right twice.
So, you know what we're having for Memorial Day dinner?
What?
Nothing.
Oh!
Because your son blew up the smoker out back.
That's my boy.
He had sticks of TNT and stuck in hot dog casing.
Hysterical. That, you have to admit, that's a pretty funny gag.
Well, it was pretty funny, until I put my hair out.
You know what? Let's celebrate that. I'm going to put these decorations up.
Okay. So, we're decorating the house very patriotically for the summer holidays.
And Ezra and Emily are here.
That's right. So Rashi has plans to nuke the family reunion around the 4th of July.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Yeah. He's made pipe bombs, he's made grenades, he's made everything. And you know, just to really capture the spirit of the event, he's put a different family member's face, drawn a picture of one on every grenade.
Perfect.
So then he knows exactly which grenade to throw at which family member.
That's awesome. Yep. I want mine to shoot sparkles.
I think you may just have to go for buckshot. He's loaded most of them with buckshot.
I'm okay with buckshot.
Well, we're back with another one. And let's see. What's happening since the last week? Nothing. Just a ton of work. Been working every day.
Fascinating podcast.
Trying to get stuff done. We saw the Star Trek movie.
That was terrible.
We didn't care for that very much. I don't know. It seemed like they started off really great about 3 years ago. And then they came back with another installment, and it was just like, I don't know, elements of Star Trek rehashed, you know, from not only from the TV show, but from the movies as well. The first 20 minutes of it I really loved, when they're actually in space doing stuff, trying to save a primitive civilization, and you actually get to see some outer space stuff. The rest of it all kind of takes place on Earth or nearby, or... They go here, they go there, they go back to places they've been before, and it just was like, ugh. I mean, I want to spend more time out there. That was a great thing about the original series, was Star Trek was all 5 years out somewhere. We never went back to Earth, or it was a parallel Earth or an Earth from, you know, another time or something like that. But the movies, by and large, have been way too much involved with Federation stuff. I just want them out there. I mean, okay, they're not on the five-year mission anymore than they were on television. So some of that involves setup of about how these guys are going to get on a spaceship again. But enough of that. Just at the end of this one, at least, they're on the five-year mission, so we don't have to deal with Earth anymore. They can just find strange critters out there and people and civilizations and stuff. But basically, I found it was kind of a limp proposition.
Why?
For those reasons that I mentioned.
Okay. So how would you fix it?
Like I said, I would put it more out in space. I would change a lot of the... I don't want to see the cast every time. I want to see Kirk and Spock, maybe, and I don't really want to have, you know, like... It gets to a point where you've got characters... Here's the thing. Those... Star Trek is better suited as a weekly series because you've got characters that you can check in with that sort of eat up the time every week, because you'll have the subplot with Bones and Scotty and Chekhov and everything. Remember, if you remember in the original series, there were very few episodes that had both Chekhov and Sulu in them. They alternated them. Yep. Or, you know, I think there were a handful where they were in the same show, but it's mostly they had a big cast, and with the movies, it's like you got to keep everybody together, or you're not doing Star Trek. You can't just do a solo Kirk story because you'll have the fans feeling gypped. So I guess the answer is they need to put Star Trek back on the air as an ongoing series, and because the cast members on the movies are probably getting paid too much, recast with people doing Spock and Kirk and everybody, and just send them out there again, do what it was supposed to be, and that, you know, continue the TV series. I have that problem with movies in general, especially with CGI movies. Like, have you ever noticed that about CGI movies? That the first one is always, you know, usually pretty good, and then they'll do a sequel, and then they have to bring back every character from the original.
Well, because they don't know which character worked.
Right, and then they bring in a bunch of new characters. Like the Ice Age films I stopped going to long ago, because originally it was sort of like, Ice Age was interesting because it was a takeoff on an old movie called Three Godfathers, which is like three unlikely guys teamed up. It was a Western. Three unlikely guys teamed up to take care of a baby and that they find in the ruins of a stagecoach. So originally you had the sloth, the tiger, and the mammoth, and the baby, and that was great. And then they got another mammoth, and then they got possums, and then they got other creatures. And now there's this, for every Ice Age, and I know they make a lot of money and they're very successful, you've got a zoo full of creatures tagging along. Same with the Madagascar movies. They just keep adding more and more characters, and I've lost interest in them.
That was literally the case in the Continental Drift. There's scenes where there's just hordes of animals just making a pilgrimage along the coast.
Yeah, and then they'll make a deal where they'll get, you know, comedian du jour to come in and do the voice of the, you know, the insecure aardvark or whatever animal they're introducing.
Wanda Sykes, the grandma sloth.
Oh yeah, whoever, you know, it's just you know,
they did.
Yep.
Yeah, they just bring in, you know, another celebrity, and then that character, you know, goes on, and then for the next movie, you got to bring them back. Oh, and then suddenly they've got another, you know, three or four other friends, and then you're hearing the rest of the cast of some NBC, you know, sitcom, you know, as they traipse around on a long journey. And I just get tired of it. Maybe I'm just losing my taste for that kind of movie. But
what's your favorite kind of movie?
My favorite kind of movie?
Yeah.
Movie or cartoon movie?
Both.
Movie, I like small movies that just sort of have something interesting going on in them, with maybe one or two bizarre elements or plot twists that just kick it up to another level. So I would guess like small comedies or even small horror movies, things like that. You know, movies that you just sort of discover and you sort of embrace. And those movies are sort of few and far between. I'm always good for the big action movies like Iron Man or Avengers or something, because those are fun. When they're well done, they're a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
And for cartoon movies, I prefer funny over romance, you know, like we've seen them all. We saw Tangled, and that was all right.
Uh-huh.
And even though it wasn't Enchanted, even though that wasn't exactly all cartoon. But the big princessy movies, even Brave, I didn't like Brave at all.
That was our big, that was your big review. You said
right.
The problem you had with Brave was that it wasn't.
Yeah.
It didn't take any chances. It wasn't interesting.
I hate that every movie that has a girl in it as the lead has to be a princess. It's like a blacksmith's daughter can't have a dream. I mean, the miller's daughter, she doesn't do anything. You know, it's just, no, we have to have the word princess in the title or in the character because we're selling a bunch of little girls all in princess outfits.
Well, also they have the princess templates already ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, there was that big controversy last week about the girl from Brave as being redesigned as more of a babe than she was in the movie. So that
How did
she,
you feel about that?
I mean, I looked at the redesign, and it's just, you know, for one thing, the character was fine and Brave, but she'll never be one of my favorites because that movie is just not a favorite of mine.
Yeah, it
sucks. And so I have limited interest in that character anyway. But when I saw the redesign, she's sort of standing with her head off to one side, kind of submissive and yet faux attitude. They do the big faux attitude thing where the character crosses their arms and they stand back to back with somebody else as if to say, hey, we're filled with attitude. Everything that the artists at Disney used to know about good posing, strong character work, is just extinct now. As long as you just cross the characters and have them there with a lot of attitude, then that sells. You know, put it on a Halloween costume or a coffee mug or something like that. Most of I guess that's the best thing about Cars and planes.
They don't have arms.
They don't have arms to cross and just sit there. Although they can just sit there and kind of pretend they do, and they still have the attitude sneer and everything.
Well, they had the catchphrases.
Yeah.
Get her done.
Oh, all that stuff, yeah. Well, I don't know. It's been a long time since an animated film really took me by surprise. And
well, you liked Wreck-It Ralph, didn't you?
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
I
did like that. That you're right. That was fun. That was.
It didn't surprise you, but you
no. I mean, you know, you see the name Walt Disney on the front. You know, it's not going to be a tragedy. The last time they attempted a tragedy was in the 1940s when they did Willie the Singing Whale, and they're not going to go back. They're not going
to
go back
to some. That's the saddest cartoon ever.
So what?
What? They just won't make an animated feature of the Cove.
What? Oh, all right. Okay. But it did have a happy ending. You got to sing in heaven.
No,
okay. He's dead.
Yeah. He's dead. Okay, all right. Yeah, but they, you know, it was interesting they tried that. And it wasn't like they've done a whole feature that ends in a tragedy or everything. Can you imagine if they did a tragic ending to a Disney feature? The box office would plummet.
Well, that was my biggest objection to Hunchback of Notre Dame was that it didn't have the tragic ending. It needed it.
Yeah, I know.
Too happy. I was like,
yeah, it was a weird choice for them.
Yeah.
Like, why would you choose a tragedy and sparkle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whale.
Yeah, that you shouldn't have done that. I mean, okay, I can understand. You've got the background of Notre Dame Cathedral, and you've got all this imagery, and then the boiling oil and everything that goes into that. There are some great sequences. But if you, that's like putting like a really powerful boxer in the ring, you know, and he's trained and he looks great, and then he just comes out and he can't hit anybody, you know, he's not knocking anybody else out. Yeah. He has to dance around and fake throw punches, and then the fight is called a draw, you know, or something, or I don't know what, but someday somebody is going to make an animated feature that is going to be really adult, and it's going to be a tragedy, and it's going to be cool for those reasons. And, you know, for all I know, there have been a few like that now, like The Illusionist was kind of. But, I mean, they deal with more human things, but it has to be done by an independent and by somebody with a lot of money who's not going to mind losing that money or creating something that is just going to be looked upon as a good picture.
Art instead of licensing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that the movie won't grow in reputation over time. There have been a lot of tragedies that have gone on and have become classic movies, and those images will be, you know, certainly be valuable in time, but it's not going to, you know, sell any breakfast cereal right away, which is the main reason for doing cartoons, right? You know, for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's not like Asia, where the animated film is considered just another genre and, you know, art medium. They
right.
do all sorts of storytelling no matter what.
Well, Miyazaki movies generally have happy or upbeat endings, but they don't feel...
Some of them are really tragic and depressing.
Yeah, they don't feel like they were just put out there because you just have to buy the product. They feel a little more organic to what's going on. Like Porco Rosso is a happy ending of sorts, but it's again, you know, like little kids see that movie and they're confused. It's like, why is he still a pig at the end of the movie, and was he always a pig, and I don't understand this and that, and why are people sad, you know, that sort of thing. But I don't know, I don't think that's a bad thing. What are your favorite types of movies, Misty?
Last movie that I saw that I really thought was funny, it wasn't necessarily well constructed or free of its plot holes, but I think the last one that I saw that I really thought was pretty funny was The Campaign.
Oh, really?
Did you guys see that?
No, I still haven't seen it. I heard it was funny.
I laughed out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There were a couple, and that's different for me, because usually I go, oh, that was funny. But I actually laughed really, really hard. It could have been the pretzel, because I do love the pretzels at the Ark.
And it's
a funny pretzel.
Yeah, well, it just puts me in a good place.
Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell are a very good combination. Team, yeah.
And I like comedies that surprise me.
Are you looking forward to that?
Intelligent comedies, which surprise
me. Third part of The Hangover?
Nope. Okay. I don't think those are intelligent, and they don't surprise me. But The Campaign, I'm not saying it was super intelligent either, but it did surprise me. There were some things that were just comedic choices that were just clash of context and fish out of water funny.
You like Moonlight Kingdom, right?
I like that okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I wanted it to move a little faster.
Bill Murray.
Yeah. Yes, because he threw a shoe at someone.
Yeah.
Slapping and throwing things are big hits with me.
Bill Murray is, and he's quite good at those things.
He is very good. I would let Bill Murray throw a shoe at me.
He makes
the frustration, like that moment of I'm so pissed and I don't know what to do with this energy right now, so I'm just going to make a choice and it's not the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets so mad. Have you seen Moonlight Kingdom?
No.
Bill Murray gets so mad at someone, and it's not necessarily a spoiler. Come up here.
Come on.
He gets so mad at someone that he takes off his shoe and throws it at them. He just has nothing else to do.
Come on. I'm trying to get Muggsy up on the couch with us.
Come here, bud.
He didn't like the mics, apparently.
Good boy.
There we go.
Priorities.
Bill Murray makes interesting choices. If he was any less of a... less discriminating, he'd be on Ghostbusters 9 by now, you know.
Well, did you hear what he did with Ghostbusters 3, the last draft?
Oh, did he tore it up? He put it in the...
No, they sent him the script for notes, and he put the script through a shredder and sent it back and said, these are my notes.
I heard he didn't do that.
He just shred it.
I heard that was apocryphal.
Where did you hear that?
I don't know.
Because I read it online that he did it.
Oh.
No, I mean, you know, I read a lot of shit online, too, and it's not necessarily true, so.
I don't know.
He did come back for the Ghostbusters game, so why not just do voiceover and make him the ghost like they originally teased about when it first started?
Right, well, they also talked about making the Ghostbusters chicks this time. I know Eliza Dushku is attached to the project, and so is Alyssa Milano.
I know Dan Aykroyd recently mentioned the Ghostbusters and the new Ghostbusters will have a threat. And I was like, what, the new Ghostbusters?
Right, Anna Faris, Eliza Dushku, and I think Alyssa Milano was the third one. That they were all attached. I was so bitter.
Well,
I'm like, man, why can't I be a household name and be a Ghostbuster?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's funny because you don't really book the stuff you want.
Yeah.
You know, like you book stuff that other people want, and you go, oh, is that a big deal? Because when, you know, like, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm going to be a Skylander.
Do you know
what Skylanders are? Yeah, I went in and I did my recording.
Okay.
I freaked out. And nice. I said, you know what? If I had auditioned for this role, there's no way I would be here. The casting director is super nice, and she called me in because I did Call of Duty for her.
Uh-huh.
And I said duty. And she called me in and she said, no, I just thought you'd be really good for this, and I played your demo, and this is the voice on your demo that we liked. So those of you who are in voiceover... make sure you've got voices you can do consistently on your freaking demo. Don't be a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
So they played it for me, and they go, this is the one we liked, but we want to add a little mystery. We want to do this, we want to do that. I said, okay. So I did it, and they're like, and this is your Skylander, and this is what you're going to look like. And I freaked out. I said, guys, I'm going to need a minute.
Yeah.
And they were laughing. They were like, why is this so important to you? It's just, you know, it's just kind of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They appreciate the project. They're very proud of their work, and they do good work.
No, of course.
But had I auditioned for Skylanders, I've wanted to be in that game for so long that I think I might have blown the audition. You just kind of never get the stuff you really want. I mean, I think some people do. You know, they like go after it and they're like, bam, in the bucket, I got it. You know, like it's okay, that's great. But for me anyway, as an actor, the stuff that you put importance on, it's like, oh my God, I have to do that. You know, like this, you know, Bob the Builder. My nephew loves Bob the Builder.
Yeah.
They can almost hear that in your audition, and it's not about the audition. It's about you being... in the game.
Yeah.
And it's not a good idea.
Well, that's why so many actors say, oh, I've been cast in this new superhero thing and I don't know anything about it. But I told my kids and they said, oh, you have to do it.
Right.
So I'm doing it for my kids.
Well, right. And so many of them are like, they're doing their job.
They've done
their research. Yeah. They know who, for example, I don't know, Robert Downey Jr. may be a total comic book nerd. But you wonder, you know, like how much Iron Man had he actually read and how much into the mythology was he, as opposed to how much swagger did Robert Downey Jr. bring into the room because he's just got it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, are you trying to be Iron Man or are you just Iron Man and you can't help it?
Well, it's interesting because the way these movies are cast, it's rarely cast with a perfect mixture of, character and actor.
Yeah, I didn't think Scarlett Johansson was a great Black Widow. I thought she was fine.
Yeah.
But I would have rather
Robert
seen
Downey
someone.
Definitely nailed the Iron Tony Man. Stark.
That's yeah. outrageous.
Yeah.
He's outrageously perfect for that role.
That is
but
a
with
great
Scarlett
question.
Johansson, I almost feel like someone like Eliza Dushku or someone mm-hmm. with a little less... Scarlett kind of looks Russian, you know, like I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, somebody with a little harsher features and a little harder looking face, I think would have been better. And who would I have cast? I don't know. I'm glad it wasn't Angelina Jolie because she's great at those action roles, but they're all Angelina Jolie doing Salt. Angelina Jolie doing the girl from whatever that other thing was that she just did with the Mark Millar property on Wanted.
Wanted, yeah.
You know, like they were fine. And mm-hmm. she's great. She's very good at Laura Croft.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm glad it was someone else. They gave someone else a chance. But and I'm glad it wasn't like Kristen Bell.
Well, when people have asked me questions about who would you cast as this character or that character, it makes no difference to me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it makes
someone
no difference.
Someone who can do the job.
Well, yeah. It you know, you want somebody good, but it ultimately is never going to be my choice. It's going to come down to a studio is making a big action movie. Who's popped lately as somebody that we like from television or has done another movie? It's like, oh, we have a deal with, let's just use the name. Anna Faris. Okay,
yep.
She's done a couple of comedy movies, and and she's got a TV show coming up. She needs to be in X-Men. You know, we're casting X-Men. Where can we put her in? Oh, you know what? Let's put in the Dazzler. Let's make it Anna Faris or something like that. And so
is she gonna play the Dazzler?
No, but as an example. And then somebody will call her agent will call her up and say, "We want you to play the Dazzler in X-Men." It's like, I'm playing the who and the what, you know, like what? An X-Men? What is, oh, that movie of you?
Oh, that makes good money. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, and then it comes out, and then it's just like, they're looking for, it really has nothing to, and there could be a girl out there on American Idol or something who's perfect to play the Dazzler, but it goes to, you know, climbing character as far as recognizability with made star.
Or
yeah.
sometimes if they go with an unknown, and I can use the Least I Can Do pilot that I was cast in as an example. I had no idea who Emily in Least I Could Do was. And there's At Least I Could Do, for those of you guys who don't know, is an online comic. And they recently, from Canada, is where and it's very, very popular in Canada. And they get so many thousands of hits. I mean, it's like, it's really cool. So I get this property and I look at it and I break it down. I go, yeah, this is pretty funny. I get it. You know, and I really wanted to be this clown character. And I turned the auditions in. I didn't hear anything, but I didn't really know the property. I looked at the property and I said, "Oh, this is pretty funny. I get it immediately." So I applied all that to my breakdown, and I got the call several months later that I'd been cast. And I thought, "Wow, that's interesting."
Mm-hmm.
And so many people online have all these opinions on who this voice should have been. You know, like, "Oh, well, I always heard the voice of blah 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 as this person." You know, and it's so interesting how many people have opinions. Like, for example, I just did my job. Mm-hmm. I broke the copy down and I put myself into it as an actor. And you go, how is this applicable to me? Have I ever been in this situation? And, you know, what's your internal monologue? All that stuff. I just did my job and I was lucky to get the job. But going over to something like Smallville, for example, a friend of ours wrote a Smallville script with Zatanna in it and actually sent he said, you know I don't really have much influence in the casting process and how you guys do this, but I would like Misty Lee to play her. They never called me.
Oh.
They never, I mean, like, there's no way. And I explained to him, he goes, you know, I really think you have a good chance of playing this role. And I said, I really don't think I do, for several reasons. Number one, at the time I was not a union actor. Number two, I don't have an agent out there pounding on the door. That's not really how it works. Sometimes, you know, for a smaller role, you can be a producer's pick. But for the most part, they go through a casting process. Mm-hmm. Yes, I see you falling asleep over there.
I'm not falling asleep. I'm thinking.
No, that's not your thinking face. That's your I'm about to pass out face.
I'm not passing out. I'm not passing out.
Emily, did you see him falling asleep?
No. I'm not passing out.
Back me up here, woman.
All right. Okay.
I didn't. So, you know, I mean, the way that the casting process typically works is we've got a potential recurring role. Who else has recurring role experience and can handle this workload? Who can handle the press load? Who's popping? Who, you know, who do we have a deal with? Who does the casting director know and like and has been trying to bring in forever? You know, and it's not all politics, but it is work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if I were a heavy producer pick and one of the executive producers said, we'd like to read this person for this role, the casting director would probably throw me a bone, would have thrown me a bone and brought me in.
But the writer saying, I kind of wrote this with so-and-so in mind, they're like, okay, yes, thank you for that idea. If that name comes up again, we might call her. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's the likelihood of them looking at me to play Zatanna for anything ever is pretty slim. You know, like, oh, excuse us. Is that in your way?
He's not sure yet.
You want to sit there? What are you doing?
He's scouting it out. He's just checking it out.
No. What are we? Okay. How about this? Does that work out? Do you want the pillow on your head?
It looks like the dog Pope.
How about
there?
How about you just have a lie down and we don't worry about this? Oh, he's so unhappy right now, you guys.
He's mad for some reason.
He's really angry. And their faces are so expressive on Boston's. He's just like, he's sitting, he's annoyed. He's not quite super angry. He's annoyed. Because he was doing the circle like he was going to lay down and the pillow was in his way. So he picked the pillow up with his head and he moved it. So I put it on his head. He didn't like that. Then we put it behind his back and he just looked at me like, come on, woman, you just don't get it. Hysterical.
I think I'm in a spot. There was a blanket here earlier, and
we got those toys. For free.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah, we got those for free. No, not that one. The one you're laying on.
Oh.
the one this weekend. Yeah. We took them to. It says Canine Advantix on it because they gave us a pen and they gave each dog a blanket. They got, a wad of treats. It's awesome.
Yeah, I saw it. It was just covered with the toys and their stuff on it.
They're like, this is ours.
Yeah. It's their play area.
There's another one. I haven't pulled it out yet. But it's funny because anytime in this house you pull a blanket out, if it hits the floor, bam, they're on it. And they sit on it and look at you like, can I have this?
It's like and usually I go, yeah.
Is that how cats are with paper? I don't know cats.
Or boxes. They sit in boxes.
That's cute.
Yeah. I hear even the big cats do it.
Yeah, in little boxes? Pictures of lions and tigers and stuff in cardboard boxes, like squeezing into them. Just
why do they do that? Do they feel comfortable?
They feel snug.
Or something?
Snug. Yeah. They like.
They
it.
Like to be snugged in.
Yeah,
that's cute.
They sleep in caves and stuff like that, so they love that.
Yeah. So that makes them feel safe.
Yeah,
like they're covered on all four sides. Because dogs do that. Like when Deuce and Muggsy get their blankets, they kind of rough them up and then they fluff it up on their back and then they put their back up against the blanket, like it puffs up on their back. And I always assumed, but I don't know, that it made them feel safe because that part of them is covered. They can't be attacked from that side. You know,
yeah, I used to have a dog that laid in the crook of my leg just like that, where his entire back was the crook of my leg.
Yep, totally. Do you have some questions?
Well, just getting back to what you were saying, you know, that is really true because the way producers look at things is they only look at it in a way as how is this going to make us money? You know, it's like
it's a business.
People have said to me, who do you see playing Harley Quinn? You know, who would play Harley Quinn in a Batman movie? And I'm sure they would think of somebody like, you know, Kristen Bell or somebody kind of elfin. The studio would think Kristen Wiig. Let's get Kristen Wiig as Harley Quinn.
No, they would not.
Yes, they would, because it's like, who's funny? Kristen Wiig is funny.
Harley Quinn
and she makes
is not
money.
Funny.
She makes, she's kind of a clown. So, and she's out of her mind. And Kristen Wiig could do the sort of thing like, oh, I love the Batman. I hate Batman. I love him. They would think of her, maybe Amy Poehler. Somebody like that.
I don't totally disagree. I think you're absolutely wrong because it's not a comedy and they would not do that for a drama. Batman is a high budget drama. They would be looking at their high budget dramatic actresses to play Harley Quinn.
Well, now it is. But
they
always back in the day.
Yeah, well, back if it was the 60s, of course they would be going
to
comedy.
Or even the Batman and Robin phase.
I could see them doing Tina Fey for Barbara Gordon because they both have glasses.
Yes, well, that's the way they play.
But I could not see them doing Kristen Wiig or Amy Poehler. First of all, I'm sorry, ladies, but they're too old. She's got to have sex appeal if she's going to be the female lead. So they're going to look at somebody who's in their early to mid-20s. They're going to be looking at the girl from Game of Thrones is who they would bring in. What's her name?
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about? The badass girl in Game of Thrones.
The dragon
the blonde?
One?
The dragon
yeah,
one?
The,
yeah.
Yeah. She is somebody who they'd probably...
I don't know who her real name is, but the Daenerys character.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is probably somebody they'd say... who's hot and 20 and can pull off the dramatic side. And then they would probably say, okay, the cutesy little voice, we're going to get rid of it. And then you would go, oh my God, that's everything she is. And they would go, right, but this is different and we're changing her. And I am over it. I'm Mr. Executive over at Warner Brothers. Boop, I'm putting my thumbprint on Harley.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be all pissed off about that. And so would your fans. So, you know, but that's how they would think. I do not think they would go Kristen Wiig. I think they would go Game of Thrones.
Okay. All right. At one point, they might have gone more toward a comedian or something. Like
a comedian, yes. If there was a girl out there, but it would depend on the tone of the movie. You know, I mean, think like a casting director.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've noticed as a voiceover person, though, is that Disney and
you know, like Fox for their major sitcoms and stuff are going towards sitcom, existing sitcom actors and UCB improvisers and stuff to populate their late night shows. You know, like you'll see somebody like Phil Lamar, who's kind of a, you know, an animation perennial for sure, but you'll also see someone like Kristen Schaal, who's got one interesting voice that she does. She's right. certainly a great actress. She's certainly very funny, but she's got one voice and she's voicing all these characters.
Yeah, they love her because she has quirky and weird and fun all rolled into one.
Yep.
Yep.
And just, sometimes she just says things forcefully and it makes you laugh because she's like so mad, but it's coming out of this squeaky little voice. It's hysterical. Mm-hmm. It's clash of context. And so she's doing voices in Gravity Falls. She's also in Bob's Burgers. She's in two or three other pilots, animated pilots that are coming out that I know for sure. Plus, she's doing her own specials on Comedy Central. Mm. She works very hard, and I don't begrudge her any of it.
No.
But as an animation person, that's really interesting, you know? And because usually they'll hire someone for scale to come in to do 3 to 4 characters per show, and they all have to sound completely different. Someone like Kristen Schaal is making minimum, probably, and I don't know, minimum double/triple scale to do that one voice and go home. You know, and a lot of the female characters are being cast with dudes because the funny, quirky, really creative, crazy character roles, the creators go, I love Clamantha. You know, like for something on Fish Hooks, for example, they had this clam who was a cheerleader who had a pearl in her mouth and they couldn't really find a voice for her. Nobody was settling in. The creator said, you know what? She's my favorite. I'll just do her. So she's got a male voice. The women on Bob's Burgers, with the exception of Kristen Schaal, are all voiced by men. Mm-hmm. The 13-year-old daughter, voiced by a dude. And he told that story. He said, you know, that I went through the casting process, I went through the callbacks, the role was originally a boy. Network said they wanted to make it a girl. And they called me and they said, okay, well, we're offering you the role of the 13-year-old, but it's a girl. And he goes, oh, I understand, you need to recast. They said, no, we still want it to be you. Which is very funny, you know, but as a female voice actress. And it's a very funny voice. It's a very funny voice because it's very, and that's how that guy talks.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Ruth and I went to see Bob's Burgers live. They did a table read and all the actors did 5 minutes of stand-up comedy.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like it would be great. It really actually wasn't. But hearing, he was actually the best one. The guy who plays Tina had the funniest stand-up. He was very funny. And he just speaks like that. That's just his speaking voice. And so you hear him talk and you kind of chuckle. And that's sort of what it's all about. Mm-hmm. As, certainly at this point, it's just an animated sitcom. Mm-hmm. And so if you get these characters and the voice by nature is funny, as opposed to something like Adventure Time, where the voices are just kind of are. They're not, you know, or a regular show. The voices are regular voices. You know, it's just they hope that they catch you with the funny writing. But they're not funny in and of themselves. Like, if you know, what does a talking gumball machine sound like? Sounds like this guy. Well, what does this crazy raccoon sound like? Sounds like that guy.
Yeah,
well,
I mean they are voiced by some of the creators and people.
That's my point.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's the casting process is really it's really unique and interesting. Mm. Whereas, like I said, with Least I Could Do, two of the roles were cast because these people knew somebody, and he said, "Yeah, we'll absolutely give them a job. I heard they're easy to work with, and I love them, and they were highly recommended by somebody. I will fill in those roles with these two people. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The rest of us were booked on quality of voice out of hundreds of people. You know, and I actually booked a pilot for Vin DeBona. America's Funniest Home Videos was looking at doing a Family Guy type sitcom for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And I was working with the guy, producer on How I Met Your Mother. And it didn't end up going anywhere, and I can't say anything else about it other than I was in it. But they booked that on vocal quality. The guy said, no, that's a funny take. We're going to take that one. That's funny because of this. That's funny because of that. Mm-hmm. And I was working with Dave Coulier and you know, a bunch of other celebrities on that. And they said to us, all of us, we booked you guys blind. We went through and we all listened and we all voted. And that's how you guys got these jobs. And I'm sorry that the show didn't go because it was pretty funny. And the premise was funny.
Very funny.
You know, but it just didn't go.
Yeah.
And they announced that it was out there.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading it on Deadline Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember
they announced the celebrities. They didn't announce the rest of us.
I remember reading Richard Kind was involved.
Yes, he was.
I was like, oh, that's cool. I got to work with
him. And I was like, hey, that's
really
my show.
Guy. Yeah.
That's my character. It didn't go. Yeah. You never know with that stuff.
Yeah.
So you're questioning, huh?
Yeah, we have.
You're going to wake up for questions?
We have questions. I'm awake.
Now you are.
I'm awake now.
I bore him when I talk.
No.
My voice, it's just like, I'm reading.
I could use some caffeine. I guess I could use a slug of caffeine.
Is that what I sound like? I probably is.
No.
It certainly is at this point.
Peanuts character. That's what
I've had no caffeine today, so that could, explain my...
You've been very sleepy this week. I don't know what's going on with you. I don't know if it's a dietary change or if it's a shift in the weather.
Or it's mono.
Been... Huh?
Or it's mono.
Oh, no, it's not mono. You don't have mono. You know what, though? You may have caught a small version of the cold that I have.
Yeah.
You may actually be sick.
I'm thinking, I feel a little wiped out, actually.
You have been, like I said, for 3 days. I mean, you were raging like Baby Hulk in the bedroom a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Throwing the television about, which was a terribly unfortunate choice on your part.
Yes.
But also, beyond the rage, you have been Captain Sleepyhead. Like a lot.
I have felt a little punk.
That's probably what it is.
Well, maybe I need to go sit in the steam room after we're done tonight.
Well, they're closed because it's 8 now.
Well, they close at 9. Still, it's a little.
Well, let's sit in the shower. Yeah, right.
I'll take a hot shower and that'll probably and go to bed early.
And then you can go to bed and get a good 12-hour sleep.
I like that. That would be good.
Yeah.
But first, we have questions from the fans. Yes, indeed.
Can you please say that again and leave that one?
Questions from the fans.
I like when you went questions. That's what
I just went.
I thought you went questions. What are we recording at 8 o'clock?
JJ. Looney Tunes. Oh, JJ the Jet Plane JW says, "What's your favorite episode of Batman the Animated Series?" Probably Over the Edge or Heart
Not
of Ice.
Not even Heart of Ice. Usually you tell me Heart of Ice.
I've asked that question before. Ian Spiegelbaum says, podcasting where? On RadioRashi.com. Tune in every week, RadioRashi.com.
It's my favorite. It's when people write to the podcast and want to know where is the podcast.
Because, of course, we'll answer it on the podcast, which
they'll never hear.
Right.
It's hysterical.
DarkMagician399 says, were the vignettes from... Almost Got 'Em, originally episode ideas that otherwise wouldn't work in a half-hour format. No, those were all created for the episode. We just came up with a bunch of little finales. You know, what's a finale to a Poison Ivy episode, a Penguin episode?
What's a finale to you?
Finale to you. What?
That didn't even make any sense.
No. But it was funny.
Like something Chico would say, though.
That's why.
What's a finale to you? Yes. Question. This is from Static Keeling.
Hi, Static Keeling.
Static Keeling.
All right.
What do you consider to be the best of these cartoons? Scooby-Doo, Johnny Quest, Speed Racer, Thunder the Barbarian.
I'm guessing the original or all-encompassing
every version.
Who cares?
That's a shitty list.
She said
getting fired from all of her potential jobs.
It's just Hanna-Barbera.
You know, I know Speed Racer. A lot of people revere it, and I've watched plenty of episodes, but there's something about early anime I just can't get past. So I'm
same way.
Johnny Quest. I would give it to Johnny Quest. That was a really
it's funny.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautifully designed, wonderfully Alex voiced. Tom. You know, it just, you know, race ban and throwing barrels at natives saying, "Take that, you heathen monkeys." I mean, come on.
Yeah,
it doesn't
that's
get
true.
Any better than that.
You have a good point.
Let's see. Cole Rothaker says,
"Hi, Cole.
With Batman, the animated series, and other shows, who decided that it would be in continuity with Batman, the animated series? In hindsight, was it an idea? It was an idea ahead of its time. It was one of those things we just sort of worked out over time. I think we left ourselves a little. We didn't really plan on that, but we just left ourselves some wiggle room so we could go back in and join things together later and." Jay Mercer 76 says, which podcast? It's the Radio Rashi podcast on RadioRashi.com. And will you ever write for The Dark Knight again, say a Killing Joke movie adaption? No. I mean, I may write something with Batman in it again.
If he listened to this podcast, he'd hear your opinions on why The Killing Joke wouldn't make a good movie.
Yeah. Killing Joke movie adaptation? No, probably not going to do that. Let's see. Cole has another question. With the live-action superhero movies doing it now, why did you guys first decide that Batman, Superman, the animated series, and JLU all shared continuity? Because all of us were working on it. So we all remembered what, you know, episodes we had done, so it was easy to go back and do it. Whereas shows like The Batman and a few others were just sort of off in their own continuity. They weren't really produced by the guys who started with Batman the Animated Series and kept those up. Taz Jam says, your website has the podcasting section down. Where can one get this podcast?
Oh, for God's sake.
Okay, well, radio. We'll put out a big announcement about that to get everybody back on the same fan, on the same page.
The website says podcasting section is down. I'm not sure about that, but if you let us know where you're doing it from or what web browser, maybe I can give you a good hint.
Okay, let's see.
I'm bored.
But what's your favorite magic trick?
Next.
Okay, well, no, that's one of the questions here. It says,
my favorite magic trick is Jonathan and Charlotte doing metamorphosis.
Pendragon's Metamorphosis.
Which Houdini created.
Metamorphosis. That's a great trick.
It's spectacular.
That's where one character turns into another and drops the screen and they switch places.
Yes.
Yes.
Jonathan was locked into it. Well, they don't work together anymore, but there's a YouTube video of it. And he's doing it again, but he's doing it differently. And she does it also, but she does it differently. At the time when they were working together and when the Pendragons broke the world record, Jonathan was locked into a bag. He was tied into a bag inside of a box. Mm-hmm. Charlotte stood up on top of the box, threw a curtain up, and he instantly ripped through it. And they had switched places, and Charlotte was inside the mailbag, inside the box, and had changed her costume. Stop it! Wow. That's outrageous. Houdini invented the metamorphosis. Jonathan perfected it.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's just brilliant. He's working on a new one, and he was showing me what he was working on, because most magicians can't do it past their 40s.
Mm.
And so he's modified the way that the trick works, which is very clever and ingenious. But it also took some physical prowess for them to be able to do it as fast as they did. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, at my age, I want it to be safe, and I want it to be just as fast, if not faster, than it always was. Their change was almost instantaneous.
Wow.
I mean, literally, she picked the curtain up and he just tore right through it and she was gone.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
The bag. It is the best. It's my favorite magic trick ever. There you go.
Very good.
So it's not, it's that.
Yeah.
Next.
John Chadwick says, had the character been created in the 60s, which actress from that era would you have cast as Harley Quinn in a Batman TV series?
We just talked about that. How interesting.
Well, there's only one from the 60s I could imagine. Goldie Hawn.
Oh, yeah, she'd have been great.
Goldie Hawn. Yeah.
Sock it to me.
Yeah,
she would have been really good.
Goldie Hawn would have been terrific. She would have been perfect. Not even Joey Heatherton. I could see Joey Heatherton probably could have played Jingle Bell in a Christmas
Burgess
special.
Burgess Meredith.
Well, Burgess Meredith was Penguin.
I know.
So, yeah.
But, I'm just being facetious. I was trying to think of somebody ridiculous. So that was all I could come up with.
Yeah. Goldie Hawn would probably be the one.
Okay.
Although, Barbara Streisand? No, Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand would be good.
Barbara Streisand would have been good, yeah.
She's got that Bugs Bunny kind of quality.
Yeah, oh, from What's Up, Doc, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, from the movie What's Up, Doc.
Moving into the 70s, but Chrissy from the Three's Company, she would work.
Suzanne Summers, thank you. I think Goldie Hawn would have been really good, though.
Yeah, Goldie Hawn would have gotten the tragedy of the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The character funny.
Yep.
Let's see. JD This says, Paul Dini, failed character story pitches, failed magic tricks by Misty. Do you have any magical failures you want to talk about?
I have a lot of magical failures. They're all long stories, though, and I'm not going to tell them right now.
Okay.
Have I ever told my America's Got Talent story?
It feels like I don't remember if it was on here or if it's
I'll do it in a couple sentences. So I was tapped to audition for America's Got Talent in a private audition. I decided to do something brand new because it was right after I moved to Los Angeles and my illusions hadn't arrived from Michigan yet, so I had to build something. Mm-hmm. So a very dear friend, Bizarro, we've had Bizarro on here, came over, worked his ass off with me to put together a custom illusion, and we literally had to make it out of cardboard boxes, which is legit. There's a whole thing on victory cartons during the war when there was a moratorium on wood and metal and raw materials. People were doing magic shows all over the country with just cardboard boxes. So you can actually do some pretty good magic with them. I walked out to do my audition, and I lifted up my first box, and everything hidden inside it fell all over the floor. Right, bam, blah, 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 all my shit all over the floor, and I was like, all right. So I had to go on, and we went on, and we finished, and when we were done, the lady just kind of looked at me and blinked twice and said, that was cute.
Wow.
And I came home and cried. Yeah, that was embarrassing. There was another time I was auditioning and I went all the way to Network and I had forgotten something at home. and my husband, who's wonderful. I have told this story on here, haven't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't
all right.
matter.
Came bursting into my audition in his underpants.
Only for you.
I was certainly grateful. Mm. Not at the time, but now I look back.
I must qualify. They were running shorts.
Yeah.
They were underpants.
They were running shorts and a
t-shirt.
They were underpants. Oh, okay. They were underwear.
Underpants.
Failed story pitches. Do I have it? I mean, I've gone into story pitches at various places where I just knew.
You had that guy looking at his shoe that one
Oh,
time.
That was wonderful. This guy over at. I went in to pitch an idea for a show that has been on and off, that got on the air and then was off the air.
It was already in trouble and it was in development. And they said, please come fix our show to him. He gets a lot of those phone calls.
Yeah. So
he's good at it.
Come in and do triage on the show that we're buying from someplace. So I came in and I talked to some of the guys and then their boss came in and he was just...
He's a monster.
He was just, you know... I like people who take their job kind of seriously. You know, like, we're here to make cartoons. If we can be serious about that and have some basic understanding and intelligence about what makes a good cartoon. And this guy was basically into being the boss and coming in and having that aura of fear surrounding him because the boss is here. Hey, look alive, everybody. I don't know what I'm doing. God, I wish I wasn't doing cartoons, but hey, I'm the boss. He was snapping gum and distracted and on his phone and I'm supposed to pitch him something and it's like, okay, you know, you're not ready to listen. I'm amazed that you're the boss in this situation because, you know, you seem to be the worst person on the planet to listen to cartoon pitches. So I started in and he interrupted me and then he took off his shoe and looked at that for a while. And
what did you describe it as the other day?
He took off his Basswegian and took...
Oh, Basswegian. That's so specific. It made me laugh so hard. He was telling this story the other
it
day.
It is. It's a shoe favored by certain executive mindsets. The Basswegian is just something...
It's hysterical.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous name for a shoe.
Yeah.
A Basswegian.
And then he gave his philosophy on action adventure and boys cartoons, which is basically, I hate everything. And then he left. So that's sort of like, okay, the meeting is over and I'm done.
I'm not getting this job.
Yeah,
bye.
I'm not getting this job. So I left and that was it. And every once in a while you'll have pitches that are so-so or just, well, that was interesting. Thank you. They're not really train wrecks, but this was pretty much close to a train wreck.
Hysterical. It's a funny story though.
Yeah, it is funny. Let's see if we got a few more here. Which podcast? Radio Rashi.
Wow.
Radio Rashi on...
Hello out there. Hello. Yeah.
It's podcast not going to help if they don't know.
I mean, okay, let me put it this way. I am starting a new website. It'll be up in a few weeks.
Me too.
And you too.
It'll be up tomorrow.
Yours goes live tonight.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So there's going to be all sorts of new bells and whistles on the website. Some great stuff. Some wonderful things coming.
Weekly comic by David Alvarez.
A weekly comic featuring my characters, drawn by David Alvarez. And who's a fantastic artist. And a
nice guy.
And a very nice guy. So everybody who's been wanting a return of Mutant Texas or Jingle Bell or Polly the Witch, this is where you'll all see them. It's going to be a Sunday page on the comic page, which where you're going to see some of my original characters.
Ambiance indeed.
Yes. Mugsy is giving his opinion of the comic strip, and he hasn't even seen the first one yet. But anyway... there'll be a link to the Radio Rashi site there, and I'll do a lot of announcements, so you should be able to find the Radio Rashi site. In fact, I think Ezra's going to walk around Comic-Con with a Radio Rashi t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Radio Rashi! On the air!
I already have some.
You have some?
Yeah, I made them for the first Comic-Con we did, so I've been wearing them every year.
You know what? Maybe we should take that booth and have Rashi just broadcasting at the booth all through Comic-Con. Okay, we're back to more questions. let's see. I'm still thinking, what's your favorite Simpsons character? Let's go around the room.
Let's ask a question around the room. How long do you think it'll be before Paul Dini is reduced to just a chalk outline?
Oh, 20 minutes at least.
you're giving me, you're being generous by 18 minutes. All right, let's go around the room. Favorite Simpson character, go. Misty, do you have one?
Rafiki.
He's not a Simpsons character.
Then I pass.
Okay, Emily.
I'm supposed to have just one.
Well, all right. Well, top two, top three.
Bart.
Okay.
Yeah, fair enough.
I like Patty and Selma.
Patty and Selma? Okay.
I'm a Ralph Wiggum fan.
And Ralph, Moe. Ralph. I like Moe, and I like the guy who runs the information booth with the really thick glasses, and he's always sad.
He's talking like this. The sassy guy like this. Or do you like yell? The woe be gone.
Hans Moleman.
Him. Hans, yeah.
Oh, Hans Moleman. Okay.
I like him.
Hans okay, Moleman. I changed mine to Hans Moleman.
Did you like Hans Moleman?
Hans Moleman is good.
He's like kissing a peanut.
Yes.
What does that mean?
That's just what Homer said.
Homer, they adopt him in an episode.
Oh, and he kisses the top of his head.
He's like, it's like kissing a peanut.
Nice. Yeah, I like Hans.
Hans Moleman.
And Krusty.
Krusty.
Yeah. Yeah, I like all the supporting. I always like the supporting cast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like all these people can fight for the lead roles, man. I swear the crazy character roles is where it's at.
Oh, yeah. McBain. Professor Fink.
Professor Frank, yeah, yes. Frank is great.
All the Hank Azaria ones are just fantastic.
He does okay, yeah, comic book guy. Yeah. Love comic book guy, yeah. Naturally.
Yeah.
There's actually a comic book guy's book to life, which shows a caricature of me sitting under with a big poster of Polly the Witch behind me at a comic convention.
It's true.
And comic book guy is coming over with comics for me to sign. I'm going like, oh. That's
awesome.
I'm wearing one of those panel shirts with the green panel.
I remember because Bill Morrison sent it over and Bill said, are you Morrison cool with this? Yeah, and how do you want it colored?
And it's like, oh, that was great. So, I don't know.
Did we have Bill Morrison on?
Yeah, yeah, we had him talk about the Little Mermaid cover and everything.
Was I not here?
You were here.
You were here.
Oh,
we
okay.
did the raffle and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's right. We made a movie.
Yeah.
Of the raffle. Oh, hey, look at all those prizes still sitting on my table.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, we got to send that off.
We got to. Who won the Captain America shirt?
We have not.
Have we not chosen yet?
We have not chosen yet. Oh. So that could be a prize. But that the
who won the World of Warcraft stuff.
I think it was Donovan Jones. I think
it was because I knew him.
Okay.
Thank God.
Okay.
All right. You have a short memory. Thank you.
So you could just cut right to her.
Yeah.
And now people wonder what you cut out. That's fine.
You'll never know.
Anybody have another Simpsons favorite character they like?
Gumby.
I like Mr. Burns.
Yeah, Burns, he's pretty great.
Smithers.
Burns. I mean, once you start naming them, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're pretty good.
I like the principal's mom.
Oh, Agnes Skinner.
She's horrible.
Oh, she is horrible.
I know. I love her.
Do
you know that Tress McNeil is also the voice of Daisy Duck for Disney?
I knew that. She's Daisy. Hmm.
Facts.
Wow.
Facts. Julie Nathanson on Least I Could Do with Me, and also an on-camera actress, voice of Belle, took it over from Paige O'Hara.
Hmm.
It's interesting because you listen to her speaking voice and you go, yeah, you got a bell in you. You totally do. It's interesting because you can hear people, you know, like you would listen to my voice and go, nope, no. You know, maybe there's a Cruella de Vil or something if she really puts it on. But you listen to Julie Nathanson speak and you go, yes, you can hear Paige O'Hara in her voice. It's interesting.
Three more questions. We'll go lightning round.
Let's get done.
Any new...
Muggsy is just
Homier
out.
Homier says, any news on the Black Canary? Is a Tana graphic novel. I've seen all the artwork. It's coming out soon. I don't have a date for you. It should be announced by Comic-Con when it's coming out. I'm thinking by the end of the year. When are you going back on...
He's like resonating through everything.
He's like on all the
microphones. Cranius says, when are you going back on Fat Man...
He never sleeps like that.
On Batman with Kevin Smith. Next time he asks me, I haven't heard from him in a while. I know he's on tour and doing stuff.
He's busy.
But probably sooner than later.
Finance Clerks 3.
What's that?
He's trying to finance Clerks 3.
Is he Kickstartering it?
No, he's doing it himself from what I understand. He's refusing Kickstarter. He's just going to do it himself.
Ouch. That's really interesting. He has turned down Kickstarter because he's saying this is a boon for guys who have no other resource. Mm-hmm. But everybody else in Hollywood, if you've got a job, you should step up and finance your own stuff yourself. So he's made enough money so that he could do Clerks 3 out of his own pocket.
That's really interesting because it goes against all the advice Steven Spielberg gave you when you were young and up and coming. And I know that the climate has changed. But when you were up and coming, you asked, and I think we've said this on the podcast before, but I'll say it again because it's good advice. But you asked Steven Spielberg when you were on Tiny Toons, if you had one piece of advice for an up-and-comer, what would it be? And do you remember what he said?
He said, never bank stuff with your own money.
That's it. And he said, if your idea is worth putting forward, someone will help you pay for it.
Right.
And so now, like I said, that was 30 years ago.
Right.
So the climate has certainly changed. And maybe now we are in a time when you until it starts to monetize itself. You know, like I look at the, I cannot stop watching, actually. I don't just look at, I always watch the epic rap battles of history. Have you guys seen these?
No.
Oh, God. You will see them tonight.
Oh, it's the animated rap battles? Those are fun.
The epic rap battles of history. Those and they put things like, Obama versus Mitt Romney, and they wrap it out, and they play these characters, and they've got
Napoleon versus Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon versus Napoleon Dynamite. They've got Leonidas from Sparta versus the guy from Halo.
Master Chief.
Yes. And they wrap it out. And he calls, like, literally, he goes, Master Chief says to Leonidas, "You got a bad case of no shirt there, Hill Fabio Flintstone." It's like, oh, God, you know, it's, like, ridiculous. It's really, really funny.
Those are funny.
"Your plans are foiled by a person with Down syndrome." It's, like, it's terrible. And I'm not doing it right because it's so funny, but it's... I watch them constantly, and those guys did it themselves until they started putting commercials on the front of their YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. They just had an idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's the climate now. Mm-hmm. Is you do fund it yourself until... It's an interesting time. I've said this before, that we're sort of at the exact same place that they were when it was talkies versus soundies. You know, talkies versus silent films and movies versus vaudeville. You know?
I'm sure back then, too, like his advice is sound in the sense that if it's a good enough idea... Yes, and you don't want to just think it's a good idea and back it with your own money and having everyone say, "Yes, man, it's a great idea," and fail. But we are definitely at a point where things aren't as expensive.
True.
And you can get it into more people's hands.
Sure.
And distribution. The cream always rises to the top.
Well, not always.
Well, I mean, I'm looking
Friday
at...
was a well. Hit for how long? She, but you that, know that
but
chick
for
was...
only how long?
But she was the number one Google hit in, I think, 2011. Number one, Rebecca Black.
And she made a lot of money from it.
A lot of money. And her parents paid for that. And I mean, terrible song for how long? Sad. But how long does it take for the ripples to go out?
Yeah.
You know, like until grandma clicks that play on YouTube, Rebecca Black is making money on Friday. And she was the number one Google search in America. Because you can look that stuff up. Adele was like number six. Steve Jobs was below Adele. Hmm. It's like... crazy. Google Plus was number two. Rebecca Black was number one.
Well, I'm looking at funding, you know, at putting some money into a game that I want to have produced because...
I'll play it. It's fun.
Yeah, because I want to do the next thing...
Give me an eye, like, is that okay?
Yeah, yes, the next thing I do, I want to do like an app game, and I'm reading up on them, and I'm trying to make connections with people who can do...
I have connections with people.
An animated... Really? Okay. And that's something I wouldn't mind funding because everybody I've talked to about it is... When I've gone in to pitch a game to the companies, it's like, well, of course, we'll have to own the IP before we look at your game. And, of course, we've got a staff full of people who can write it better than you can. And it's like, I don't think that's really true, guys.
Hey, we got the decorations up.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So that's why the next game I do, I'm going to try and do the self-funded thing. And, I guess I could do Kickstarter. I've got friends who were doing Kickstarter. But, it's like that's sort of like I have a bad feeling about that. Like if I go out with any of my characters, original characters for Kickstarter, I'm afraid, I'll be 3 days and I'll make like 48 cents, you know. It's like,
Well, being superstitious about it, look at it this way.
Yeah.
If people think it's a good idea and it gets it onto the right eyeballs, because the problem is... If it's a great idea, but it doesn't get the distribution via websites, then people don't fund it. But if and also consider the fact that this is a brand new IP for you.
Right.
You know, so, and the people who buy your stuff specifically, like your brand, if you were doing a Batman book or a Zatanna book, or you were doing something that is known, your name is known to circle around like a shark, then you'd probably have an easier time funding it on Kickstarter. This is a new... project for you. This is an unestablished IP, and it might make more sense to get it out there because the people who are going to play that game are Aiden, not a grown people will play it too because it's going to be very fun. I play Plants vs. Zombies.
Right.
I play Fish Out of Water. I play this stuff. I play Fruit Ninja. That's for babies. I love it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I were looking at a Kickstarter for Fruit Ninja, I would go, But then you play it once and you go, oh, crap, this is really easy.
Well, that's why I haven't...
And then all of a sudden you're sucked in. It would make more sense for you to self-fund, and once it's established, do it for two.
Well, that's why I haven't put out a Kickstarter for something like a Jingle Bell Christmas special. And I have talked about it. Like raise money to let's do an animated... If we don't do an animated Jingle Bell Christmas special, let's do an animated Jingle Bell short and put it out on the web in time for next Christmas. And I think there are people out there who would certainly click in to watch it. I just am not convinced there are people who would just pony up, $5-$10.
We also haven't attempted to pitch that around town, Other people are pitching it for you and selling it.
No.
Yes.
What?
That happened.
Oh, well, yeah. But
that lady called and said, I sold your property. And it was like, what the?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
We didn't even know her.
Yeah, but it never got on the air. So
she's because you put the kibosh on it.
That's right. But
that was crazy. That lady was like, I went and pitched this stuff to this channel and they want your character. But here's the changes they want to make to it. And Paul was like, who is this? He never even met her.
Wow.
It was insane. It was absolutely
But there insane. Was that network that wanted Jingle Bell to host all their Christmas programming. That very prominent network that does a lot of Christmas programming every year. And the offer was $5,000 deferred and maybe we'll validate your parking ticket. And we own the character in perpetuity for all time.
Right. I don't know what channel that is, but that's a crappy offer.
I don't know.
You don't have to tell me. It's just...
Anybody can figure it out. But it's... What?
All right. Whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Was that right? It's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
They do almost a month's worth of Christmas programming every year, and that's their big draw.
Yes, that's exactly who I just mouthed to you. All right.
And it's like, we can do it and be great, CG, and we'll do a special, and you're never going to touch the character again, and you'll never see another dime from her. But hey, that's the way we roll. So it's like,
Nope.
There was one other question here, and I can't find it anymore, so I guess we're done.
Hey!
Oh, here's one.
You got a bad case and no shirt there. Hey,
Neverese.
Hysterical. I can't stop thinking about it.
Cap L says, my wife and I named our rescue pug Dini after you. How do you choose pet names? How'd you guys come up with Rashi?
Rashi is named after his dad.
He's named after his rash on his bottom.
Just like you.
He's also rash. And brash.
But we didn't know that when he got his name.
No, he's named after a rash on his body.
He was named after because he's a sock monkey. He's got a little red stripe on his butt, so I named him Rashy.
Yes.
Because of that.
Yes. He claims I have a similar rash, but I've yet to see it. Neverie says, what's up? What's Skeletor's deal about decorating with skulls? Vanity? His name's Skeletor. Yeah, he likes
what's
skulls.
What's my deal about decorating with skulls? Vanity?
Yeah, there you go.
No.
What?
What?
You just like skulls.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Ruth has one in a glass jar on her kitchen sink.
You mentioned that.
Very jealous of it.
And that is
it. It's got a head injury, too. It's got like a big gaping wound in its head. I want it.
That's where Ruth kicked that guy, right?
Yes.
Apparently with her steel-toed Doc Martens.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Ruth doesn't wear... She wears nothing but Christian Louboutin and very expensive heels that other people buy for her.
What, those really girly shoes that cost about $5,000?
She came over here... Yes, they're like $1,000 for a pair of shoes. And she's like, hey, I'm getting rid of some shoes. I'm like, bring them here. Because I'll sell them on eBay. I can't wear them anywhere, but I'll sell them. She brought one over and had like a unicorn horn for a heel. And I'm like, well, where do you even like... What? How do you... You don't wear that shoe. You have your picture taken in it and you take it back to the store.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane.
How do you walk in those things? Like those real...
What did I just say?
Like the... Okay, you don't walk in them. You just pull them out of your bag and then you walk around a red carpet and then take them off.
You sit down with them on.
Okay.
And then you have people carry you from point A to point B.
Okay. Because I've looked at some of those shoes and those just things look like god awful. They look tiny and weird and like they'd break.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They look like they're made out of spun sugar, which I guess would explain Cinderella and her glass
slipper. Absolutely.
Okay.
So we're done.
We're done.
Thank you, everybody. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. What are we going to do for Memorial Day?
We're going to end the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.